We're going to look at Acts 16. If you can turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 16, please. And we're going to look at the ways of God. I'm going to just put a map up on the screen. If you can put the map up. And that's Paul's second mission. This is the part that we're reading about. So there is Antioch over there. That's where Paul and Barnabas had their fallout. We looked at it last week. And the church was really, really pumping there. And the evidence of God's grace was there. And then Paul and Barnabas had their splits. And Barnabas went down here to Cyprus. And Paul went on this journey. And he tried to get into Asia. And if I was God, which thank goodness I'm not, if I was God, I would have sent him from Antioch this way to Athens. Because Athens was like where all the philosophers were. Athens is where the Olympic Games started. Athens was where all the poets were. Athens was where all the artists are. Athens was where all the orators are. So if you want to impact the world, you send somebody to like the most important place, and if they start to impact important people, then the impact grows. If I was God, I would have done that. But he didn't. He sent them around this way, and they tried to get into Asia, and God stopped them from doing that. So when God stops you doing that, don't think God's bad. He's got a better plan. And so many times God will stop you. You think it's a good idea. You think God's in it, but the doors don't open. It's because God's got a better plan. I try to go to Australia, then I try to go to America, and I try to go all over the place, and God wouldn't let me go because God wanted me to come to Pretoria. And every time, I tell you, I've never heard anybody who lives in Pretoria saying they don't like living here. We've got the best weather in the world, not even a question of a doubt. And I think we've got the most potential of any city in our nation to impact and change people's lives. We've got the government sitting here. I'm being dead serious. We've got every embassy from all over the world sitting in our nation. And we only have to touch one person's life. And we can impact the world. And so he tries to get in here. He tries to get into Asia. He tries and tries and tries. And then he ends up in Troas. And that little trip across the sea to Philippi is where we're reading in the Bible on the top left. I would have gone down to the bottom of Athens here. I would have gone into Athens. I would have gone into the market square. And I would have preached about Jesus and hoping that some really rich dude got saved so that he could finance the church. But God sends them the other way around into a place. There are not even 10 Jewish men, so there's no synagogue. So he has to go to the river. And at the river, he finds a group of women praying. There is more chance of revival coming from your group of 5 or 6 women praying in your kitchen on a Friday morning than there is coming from 3CR Church. You say, no chance. I'm telling you, that's how God works. He works upside down. He can send English guys to Pretoria. He can send Afrikaans guys to Durban. He can send South African guys there. He can bring Congolese guys. God can do whatever he likes. Amen? Amen? Yes. And so that's the story. So he goes in there, and if you can read the rest of the scripture, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. You freaking Greeks come up everywhere. It came to me on Sunday after the service. He says, hey, I'm Robbie. I said, how's it, Robbie? What are you? He says, I'm a poorer. I said, flap, you oaks are everywhere in this church, bro. I kind of thought, I wonder if he's a butcher. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a butcher. I thought, of course. Well, of course, Robbie. And then he's got a cousin who's a, you know, it all works like that. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that he was from a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. It's the most bizarre thing. They go to Jerusalem around this question. Must people be circumcised to believe in Jesus? You say, no, they don't have to be circumcised. So Paul is going to go all the way around and say, you don't have to be circumcised to belong to Jesus, but I'm going to take Timothy with me and it's going to be easier for my mission if I get him circumcised. So do you have to be circumcised? No. Do you circumcise him? Yes. Why? It's easier. Do you have to come to church? No. Do you come to church? Yes. Why? It's easier. It's easier to serve God like that. Amen? We don't have to do anything. Jesus did everything. But sometimes we obey the law because it makes it easier for the gospel. Amazing, eh? Let's go to verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and all that place, and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. Imagine if God went into Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia at the top there, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now they're standing at the sea. Now there are not a lot of options. I try to go there, I try to go there, I try to go there. God, what must I do? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he does that little trip across the sea. That is the trip into Europe. Europe is the greatest center of missionary work in the history of the world. And everything that has happened in Europe, the money that you save to go to Europe to look at temples and ancient churches came from this trip across the sea. And the history of Christianity can be based on this little trip across the sea. And I would have done it the other way, and God did it this way. And so never despise the day of small beginnings. From Troas, you can see it, we put out to sea and we sailed straight for Samothrace. It's about a 200-mile trip. And the next day to Neapolis. And from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Friends, if I was God, I would have gone this way around to Athens. You can see Athens at the bottom. I would have saved a couple of rich guys and asked God to spread the gospel. God comes this way around and he joins a women's prayer meeting. And we're preaching, anything can happen. God can do anything with anybody inside of this church because his ways are not our ways. His ways are far above our ways, and do not get stuck in how you think God can work. I preached in a church this week, and a man came to me and said, Rory, you know what happened here? A couple of weeks, I said, what? They said, a single woman walked in here and said she would like to give us a gift. It is a very strong male-dominated church. And she gave them a gift of 28 million rand. And all of a sudden I realized this big, strong, male-dominated, male theologically strong church is being financed by a single woman. This church, I don't know who she is, but the biggest giver in this church, I don't even know what amount she, the biggest giver in this church is a single woman. 98% of the people who preach in this church are men. And you think, surely that has got to be the call of God. But this thing is financed by women. Because God can do anything. He can do whatever he likes. And he says, I'm going to touch Europe. I'm going to use a something. I'm going to use a launching pad to get my gospel into all the countries. France, England, Germany, all the countries, I'm going to use the gospel, and I'm going to start with a women's prayer meeting. So this scripture, friends, we won't read it because time's running out, but this scripture is just a scripture of open. If you read Acts 16, God opens a way between Troas and Philippi. He opens a way. The Bible says God opened her heart. This woman, Lydia, she deals in purple cloth. She's a businesswoman. She's not a Christian. She's a Jewess. And Paul says he starts to speak his message. His message is very simple. It's grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That message never changes. And if you're sitting here and you think, but he had to get Timothy circumcised, by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the message. There's no other message. And everything I've tried for 10 years is to break your religious mindset of your activity that makes God happier. Jesus made God happy. And when we believe in Jesus, the smile of God comes upon our lives. Whether you're smoking or whatever you're doing, you don't have to give up smoking to believe in Jesus or to be free. You're just going to die quicker. But you can smoke and go to heaven. Holy smoke. And you'll probably get cancer and you'll probably die, but you'll still go to heaven. Friends, in Christ, in grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. He preached that message, and the Bible says, and God opened Lydia's heart. Say Lydia. I would have looked at Athens and I would have thought the emperor, one of the leaders, one of the businessmen. That's how we think in the church. If we influence the influential people, then somehow we'll, and God just says, no, I'm going to use Lydia. I'm just going to use Lydia. What's your name, ma'am? What's your name, lady who gives us all the money to build the church? What's your name? I don't even know what your name is. But God's ways are not my ways. And every time I read this story, I'm reminded, friends, that God does not behave like we behave. He can do anything with anybody at any time. Not many of you were wise when I called you. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were rich. The glory always wants to go back to God. And you say to me, Rory, are you convinced in your heart that God can do more with a group of praying ladies than he can with the whole of 3CI? And I'm saying, yes, I believe that from the depth of the bottom of my heart. Amen. That headmaster that stood up here today, friends, and there's a revival happening in that school, and there are people getting baptized in that school. Can I tell you how that started? It started with a prayer meeting with this lady and a group of her friends. Her name is Rindy, and there's another lady, Yanin. She's sitting up there somewhere, and she started a prayer meeting. And God uses somehow these little prayer meetings, and we're worrying about gender this and gender that. And God is just absolutely busy with all sorts of people. He opened her heart. You know, friends, you can sit in this auditorium for 10 years without an open heart. You can hear sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, but your heart is closed. God opened a way, then he opened a heart. I want to say, God, please open my heart. I worked with these guys' fathers, both very highly skilled, highly trained engineers, their dads, top of their classes, operating in their businesses. But God opened our hearts and he said, I want you guys to impact the world as a group of friends. I've got pictures of these little boys sitting on my staircases, 2 years old, and their dads gave up their careers to preach. Now we have two highly trained engineers in the engineering field, still believing in the church, but their dad somehow had to respond to the call of God. I'm going to use engineers to build the church, and then I'm going to give them sons who are going to be engineers who can change the engineering world. Open the heart. I want to say to you, I sat in my study this morning and I just prayed. I said, Lord, would you just open 10 people's hearts in our auditorium? Because, Lord God, one woman's prayer meeting led to one open heart, which led to one open home, which led to one open continent. The whole of Europe was changed by that salvation. The whole of Europe was changed by that salvation. Can you imagine if God opened your heart and you opened your home and you don't know? This is Jacques. I met him today. Hello, Jacques. You never knew I would like introduce you to everyone. This is your worst desire of your whole heart. He is the designer and the architect of the medical school at Tickies. And somebody said to him, hey, there's some people with open hearts that run a home group. You should go there. And then he phoned the lady who invited him there. She said, no, I can't come. He said, well, how can you invite me to a meeting that you don't go to? He said, I don't know how it works. So he came. And then the next week she couldn't come either, so he came again. And then she said, well, actually we're attached to another group of people. That's all the home groups that all meet. So he came, and then you came again. And again. And again. Come again. Because I tell you what, if God opens your heart and then you open your home, he can end up opening a whole continent through you. Because you've got a gift. So friends, I want to, and then you think, okay, convert number one, Lydia. Convert number two, we've got to get like a proper oak. Like a hardcore dude who's like got a degree and he can preach. Demonized girl. Convert number two, demonized girl. Shouting and screaming. And God sets her free. So now we've got two members of the church. A woman, a woman's prayer meeting, and a demonized girl. We think, okay, the next guy's got to be a decent guy. So we're going to use a jailer. I went to jail this week. Khosi Mampura. It feels like Khosi Mampara. But anyway, have you been there? Have you been there? It is. You go there, and then you give your ID, and then they give you a form. They look at your ID, and they look at you, and they give you a form. You go and fill the form, and you give them the form back, and they look at your ID, and they look at you, and they say, now you must stand in the queue to register your form. The queue goes like this, and then you register your form, and they tick it in like this. Ah, sorry, load shedding. System down. I think you don't look like a church planter to me. You don't look like an avenue into Europe to me. And then the system boots again, and then they tap you in. And once they tap you in, then you can go to the kiosk, and you've got to show your tap-in thing to show to buy something. And then you go underneath there, and you meet the guy there, and you walk into a room of very disorientated people. And I walked in, and I said, hey, guys, I'm a pastor. You look sad. Can I pray? And so I prayed, and then you wait. 1 hour, 2 hours. And you think, if I chose to evangelize Europe, I wouldn't choose a jailer. And so they beat the snot out of Paul. They beat him. And the Bible says in Acts 16, at midnight, say at midnight, he starts to sing. At midnight, he starts to sing. You see, the ways of God are not, you know the worst time of our lives sometimes is midnight. Especially when you've been beaten. Then you want to curse. And he starts to sing. Let's start to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's close your eyes. I wonder what he sang at midnight. I wonder if he sang Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. Light in the Darkness. Pitch black, beaten to inch of death, in a prison, with a jailer who doesn't know Christ, with a group of probably murderers and rapists and fraudsters all around him, and he starts to sing. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, Lord. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, Lord. Jesus the Nazarene. And as that praise started to come up to heaven, the Bible says when our prayer comes up to heaven, the lightning and the thunder of God comes down to earth. We have become a critical, negative, beaten generation. And it's easy sometimes to sing on a Sunday morning, but it's not easy to sing at midnight when you have had something bad done to you. And when the church starts to sing at midnight and the cries come before God while the enemy is fast asleep and the ANC government's mechanisms have come to a standstill because the jailer has gone off. He keeps hours. He's gone off. And the Home Affairs Department have gone off. And the licensing department that is crooked to the core has gone off. The church who have been beaten start to sing. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, Lord. They start to sing. And the music starts to go to heaven. And all the civil servants are fast asleep. And God starts to send down power. And he starts to shake. He starts to shake. He starts to shake. And he opens a way into Europe. And he opens the heart of a woman. And he opens the home of a woman. And he starts to open a continent. And then he starts to open gates that are locked. And the jailer gets saved. And you know what it says? He cleans the wounds of Paul and his companions. Church, today, these are not the ways of men. Would you go home? Would you contact the people you've hurt? And would you go and clean their wounds? Would you go and take some cloth or some flowers or some biltong? And would you clean the wounds of the hurt that you have caused in other people's lives? I want to start a revival in Europe. How will you do it, Rory? I will use great orators to go to Athens or to go to Rome. Now, I'll tell you how I will do it, Rory. I will stop them from going into Asia. I'll put them on a boat trip across to Philippi. And I'll start with a women's prayer meeting, a demonized woman, and a civil servant. And hundreds of years later, millions of people will go to Europe to see the church. It started at a river. God bless you.